Romans 8, verse 20. I'll read it in KJV, then the brother will read it in NIV. For the creature, other versions, I think like NIV, hope I'm correct on that, they say creation. For the creature was made subject to what? Can we all read it together? For the creature to vanity. Now, have you found it, Brother Tenson? Yes, can you read it? For the creation. Meaning things God made was made subject to what? Okay, now let us all read it. I wanted that word creation. Let us all read it in KJV. Shall we all read? For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. It's not like God is enjoying what is going on. But he has an agenda. He has an objective. You understand that? He lets man run with his choice. For what purpose? He has hope. He has a goal he wants to achieve. What is that? He says, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Hope means there's something you desire to achieve ahead, right? So as human beings are experiencing it, others, they start living their own way. They destroy their lives. They don't have peace in their hearts. They don't have joy in their hearts. Regardless of whether they have riches and all that, they feel a void. And one by one, they say, Lord, yes, you gave me a mind, you gave me choice. But I realize my true joy is for me to surrender this choice in your hands. In your hands, it is in a safe place. We call that repentance. What is to repent? To repent means you are walking in one direction, in your own way. Then you say, this way leads to darkness. It leads to destruction. Lord, be my guide. Let your word be a lamp unto my feet. Show me where am I supposed to step. That is repenting. It means change of direction. From your own way to the way of God. Amen. David says, thy word is the lamp unto my feet. David says, I am a stranger in the earth. Psalm 119, I am a stranger in the earth. Let thy word be a lamp unto my feet. This is an elderly person speaking. He says, I'm a stranger. Does it mean he didn't know his environment and all that? No. He is speaking about his soul. I'm a stranger, Lord. You are the one who created me. I can't just act like I know how to do things in this world. The blood, you are the one who put it in me. The breath is yours. Everything in me is yours. Lord, let your word open my eyes. Let it guide me in the paths of life. And Solomon, his son, adds, he says in Proverbs 3, lean not to your own understanding. Because your will was never designed to lean on itself. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see now, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. You see, all creation, animals included, when man went out of the way of God, all confusion, animals are lower than a man. Whatever happens to a man, the confusion, all these things, they go down. So everything, all creation is waiting for that deliverance. So what was the design of God? He creates a human mind. He knows it will wander away from him. But he knows those who are chosen, those he has foreordained. Now, if you are here and say, now, if God foreordained, it means me, I'm not chosen. Amen. Please, walk out of here. You are not chosen. But when I know God foreordains, I say, praise the Lord. I am here because I have a desire to worship him. That desire is not natural. And I'm privileged to hear the message of this day, which foreruns the coming of Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, God knows those who go through this experience. They come to a point where their minds, they say, no, Lord, I am not mine, I am yours. So they go back, they repent to go back to God. Brother Branham, in the message, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. We've talked about Erasmus, we've talked about Luther. These men were theologians. They were smart men. But you know, in this day, God sent that ego spirit, right? He wasn't an educated man. He wasn't a scholar. But the mind of God. Now listen, that's the highest privilege you can have. For the mind of him who created everything, him that wrote the scripture, to be revealed to you. That's the highest privilege one can have. And now listen to what he says. One night, as I was seeking the Lord, the Holy Spirit told me to pick up my pen and write. This is Pergamian church. As I grasped the pen to write, his spirit gave me a message for the church. He gave me a message for the church. I want to bring it to you. It has to do with the word and the bride. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone. And she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. They in the bride will be so much like him that they will even be in his very image. This is in order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Now listen. She, like Adam's wife, talking about the bride, was put to the test whether she would believe the word of God and live, or doubt the word and die. Now, this is what we've been speaking about. In the beginning, whatever happened, choice was not a gift, it was a test. It says, Adam, Eve, you have the choice. That was a test. What will you do with your choice? Will you run away free in every direction, trying to express it in any way? Remember, the one who has given that test has an agenda. He has an agenda of populating the whole world with his sons and daughters of God. He has an agenda of a family which will live in eternity enjoying peace. But the only grounds for peace is to live and walk under the will of the Father. But not like a robot, but like one who has freely blended and yielded and surrendered that will so that the Father can lead you. So, if God creates a creature with choice, and he knows its safety is in choosing my way. But suppose that creature wants to test how its own way feels like. God creates time for it to go through that. So that by the time you repent and surrender your choice, God is righteous. God has been justified. You, out of your own choice, you've thrown back your free will to him. Now, that is his bride. Now, this was in Pergamian churches. Now, this is from Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Now, listen to this. God has had a threefold purpose in this great mystery secret. He has had what? A threefold purpose. Now, I believe by the help of God who is present. Now, remember, he was a prophet. He's speaking something wonderful here. He says, God who is present, he will show it to us. Now, he says, in eternity past, God he wanted to achieve three things. Before he created anything, he wanted to achieve three things. He had a threefold purpose. One of his great threefold purposes was to express himself, to reveal himself in Christ. So God says, I'll reveal myself in Christ. Why Christ? He started with Lucifer first. Lucifer had choice. He was given the same test. He was given choice. He was also given Eden. That's the prehistoric era, where you read the Zinjanthropas and all those kind of creatures, the dinosaurs. That world was in the hands of Lucifer. He was tested with choice. What will you do with it? The world was given under his control. You know what Lucifer said? I can be like God. He ran wild with his choice. God took back his resources. Judged him. Says, okay, let me have a human being now. A human being is given choice. The devil comes. Do you know you can be like God? Do you realize it's the same temptation that made him fall? The same temptation comes to man. You'll be wise as God. Man is tempted to walk in his way. That's two. Three. God says, okay, now I'll do a great mystery. I'll make a human being who will be able to fully yield and surrender to me. Who was that? That was Christ. When Jesus was born, he started growing up. Do you know that Jesus had choice? Do you know he had choice? That is why in Gethsemane he said, Father, is it possible this cup to pass over me? No, nevertheless, not my will, but your will. In John chapter 4, they went to buy him food. As they brought it to him, he said, I have food you know not of. My food is to do the will of my Father and to finish it. In another place he says, I can do nothing except what I see the Father showing me. He was very careful to only walk by what is the Father showing me to do. Not my will, no, but his will. And Well, when he was getting baptized, I believe there are certain things he was tested in the 30 years of his life. Because, let's go to Isaiah 53. We are on the first, Brother Branham says there's a threefold purpose. We're talking about God revealing himself in Christ. Now, let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 6. I want us to all read. Read with everything that is in you. I want to hear your voice. Isaiah 53, verse 6. Shall we read? We like sheep. What there? All of us are like sheep, right? Is that correct? Shall we read again? Oh, we like sheep. What have we done? Have gone astray. Now, what there? Why did we go astray? We moved out of the way, got shot. We moved out and went astray. Hearing the temptation of Satan. Now, have gone astray. What have we done? Let us read. We have turned everyone to his own. So to my own choices, to my own desires, to my own ambitions. Are you seeing what happened? To his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now look here. Do you realize Jesus was born as a human being like you and I? Of course, he was virgin born. He was like Adam, the way Adam was made when he came from the ground. But in the context of this scripture, he also was like a sheep like you and I. Right? Are we together? But we, you and I, we all went astray, chasing our own ways, our own desires. Leaving him alone. Alone to do what? He was the one who was willing to fully empty all his choices and to allow the Father to fully express his will in him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what has God done? He found a vessel that he could demonstrate how his will can manifest in a human vessel. So see what happened. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He didn't come to express his rights. You know, Laodicea is an edge of my rights. It's knowing your rights. But you realize the savior of the world, when he stood before Pilate, voices of accusation were coming. This one is saying this, this one is saying that. And he was just quiet. You think he had no words to speak? You think he had no better arguments? No, he had. But it's not about what he wanted to speak. It was about, is the Father permitting me to speak at this moment? That is how his whole mind was totally aligned to the mind of the Father. Until Pilate got upset and said, can't you hear what they're accusing you? You are just quiet. Can't you hear? And he was still quiet. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought, now listen, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You know the way we are as human beings, there is ego in us. When something happens which threatens your ego, you come to your defense, right? That's how we are, right? You get angry, I mean, because there is a level of ego. But to reach a place where a man was totally dead to himself, that was quite something. That was quite something. And in verse 10 he says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And then he says, when thou shalt make, this is verse 10, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. I was preaching a message in Mwembeshi, I believe. I was talking about the burning of a sacrifice. There were different kinds of sacrifices in the Old Testament. There was a sacrifice where you just praise and thank God. There was a sacrifice, it was called a guilt offering, when you know that what I did, it was an intentional thing. So you give a sacrifice, an animal, for it to be sacrificed. There was also a sacrifice when you've committed an unintentional sin. You also gave a sacrifice. But there was one sacrifice in the Levitical laws in Hebrew, it's called Olah. Or Holocaust, it's also called Holocaust. Where they get the term for this Holocaust, the way they were burning Jews. In English, we call it burnt offering. When you read the book of Leviticus, it gives instructions on what a burnt offering, how it's supposed to be done. You go read Leviticus chapter 1. A burnt offering, number one, Moses said it has to be a free will offering. No one should force you. It should come from choice. Let's read that. First, before we read it. Now, look at this first. It says, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the what? The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his. Who is this one? The sheep that has given off its rights. The pleasure, what God desires, what God wills, it will prosper. Now, you and I, sometimes we get yielded to God and then God does something. Another day, you find our minds are just in our own carnal ways. Another day, we quench and suppress the Holy Spirit. You know, like this. So, the pleasure of the Lord, what God is pleased with, pleasure comes from please. What pleases God? Yeah, it can maybe happen today, tomorrow, but because we're in this flesh and our minds are in constant battle with what the voice of the Spirit is speaking, you find that the pleasure of the Lord does not fully prosper through our lives. But this particular lamb, the Bible says, the pleasure of the Lord, meaning what God desires, what he wants to fully express, it will fully express through this chosen vessel. Now, let's go to Leviticus. We'll be winding up soon. Let's go to Leviticus. Now, do you realize that when you give a guilt offering has a voice? When you say, no, I'm guilty, I'm the one who did wrong. Yeah, forgive me. Here is a sacrifice to be given. What is the voice of that sacrifice? I am guilty and yeah, you know, forgive me. There's another offering for unintentional sins. You say, oh, it was by mistake. Sorry. You give a sacrifice. That was another kind of sacrifice. You find it in the book of Leviticus. There's another sacrifice. You say, I'm happy. I didn't have a job. God gave me a job. I had a good harvest. This is my offering. The guilt offering is good, but not good enough. The guilt offering is excellent, but not more excellent. The same with thanksgiving offering. It's good, but not good enough. Excellent, but not more excellent. But you know what? Abel gave a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The sacrifice Abel was pointing to Calvary, the Lamb of God. What kind of a sacrifice was that? It was not guilt offering. It was not, yes, these aspects, they have their shadows and whatever context we can want to mention them. But with the picture we are trying to paint here, we are saying it was a burnt offering. It was a burnt offering. A burnt offering has no voice. You know why? You burn it. This was the law on a burnt offering. Burn it to ashes throughout the whole night. Until there is nothing on the altar. That's a burnt offering. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus 1 verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. It's not supposed to have blemish. Jesus was without sin. Right? And he shall offer it of what? Of his own voluntary will. You see that? Voluntary will. All we like sheep have gone astray. In our own way, it was our choice. Let me try out this way. But Jesus, of his own voluntary will, he made a choice for what he did. Father, not my will, but yours. As a dumb sheep, as a sheep is dumb before the shearers, so he won't open his mouth. What was he doing? Surrendering himself to the fire, the baptism of fire. Remember what John said when Jesus came? He said, behold, the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world. Two controversial things in John the Baptist's statement. Two controversial things. In all the history of Israel, no human being was pointed at as the lamb, as a burnt sacrifice. It was always an animal, not a human being. So, but John here speaks by inspiration. Behold, the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the world. He was a lamb. What kind of a lamb? Blameless. As a lamb, as a sheep is dumb before its shearers. That's how he went before those angry mobs, before Pilate. Accusations were coming. He never opened his mouth. He was just quiet. Now remember, James, John, with all their carnality, they were thinking of a political messiah who would come, and they wanted to be vice presidents. They said, Master, when you come in your kingdom, in your glory, will you allow me to be the one who stands on your side and my brother on the side? He said, are you ready to drink of my cup? Are you ready to be baptized with the baptism I am to be baptized with? What baptism was that? Because this man he's speaking to, they were already baptized in water, weren't they? Remember, whatever baptism Jesus went through, we are required to go through it. Before you burn a sacrifice, you need to wash it in water. He had to go through baptism of water, didn't he? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, when he went in Jordan, the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God without measure was in him, right? And what did John say? He said, him that comes after me is mightier than I. He baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So if he baptizes with the Holy Spirit, he himself was filled with that Spirit. If he baptizes with fire, he himself was baptized with that fire. Do you know what baptism means? It means to immerse. If you have to be immersed in water, and we call that water baptism, it means the baptism of the Holy Spirit means you have to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. We have a type of that. Ezekiel, in his vision, the water started in the ankle, in the knees, until he says they were over me and I could no longer walk. It was the waters carrying me wherever they were carrying me. That's the Holy Ghost baptism. You start being led by the Spirit. And it can give you joy. It can give you peace. But you also need fire. Fire. Jesus said, are you ready to be baptized with my baptism? The baptism I'm going through? What is fire? Fire is the burning of a sacrifice on the altar. Everything has to burn. The other offerings, you leave something, the priest has to eat. But fire has to reduce everything to ashes throughout the whole night. Remember the law. It has to burn through the night. Fire speaks of the night. It speaks of trials. It speaks of rejection. It speaks of pain. It speaks of things I only walk in the will of God until you don't have any self-interest in you. Let's see how this baptism played out in Jesus. Hebrews chapter, is it chapter 5? Let us check out what is there. We are closing soon. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with a strong crying. Hey, that is fire. Fire produces strong crying. When you go through the baptism of fire, it's not tongues you are going to speak. It is tears which will do the speaking. When you go through baptism of fire, you don't come out wet, sweating water. You sweat blood. When you go through fire, it's not James, Peter, John, pray with me, and they are praying with you. It's that moment that your heart can only be poured out on the altar between you and God. God does the cutting. God does the burning. Not to destroy you, but to produce a precious metal out of you. Do you realize the Holy City, New Jerusalem, is made of precious gems? Diamonds, pearls. Check all those minerals. They are produced under high, great pressure of heat. That's fire. What is the fire doing? It comes to cleanse every self, every flesh, every carnal thing about you. So that when God presents you to rule this world, there won't be any iota of your own agenda or any flesh in you. Whatever you wear, whatever form you wear, was reduced on the altar to ashes. And when you bring the word of God, it's got nothing to do with glorifying yourself or your flesh. When you proclaim the word, all the glory goes to God. Do you know Brother Branham had to go through that? Read his life story. Imagine if God had entrusted that gift with someone who had just gone undergone water baptism and Holy Ghost baptism. What kind of an anointing a man speaks and a squirrel appears? What kind of an anointing a sinner misbehaves in the house of God and the voice speaks and says, I give them into your hands. Whatever you do, whatever you speak, it will happen on them. And he says, young man, I forgive you for what you are doing. What did he go through to come to that place? He went through enough experiences to know that I can never do a thing. If I step out of the will of God, I know the consequences. Now the Bible says, those who suffer with him, they shall reign with him. That's what the Bible says. Those who suffer with him shall reign with him. What kind of suffering? It's not the suffering of, oh, we haven't received the salary at work. That's not the suffering we're talking about. It's a suffering which deprives you of your choice. But you have learned and grown to find joy in yielding and surrendering to the will of God. Yeah. That fire, Jesus said, yes, you will go through the baptism I'm going through. That's what he answered them later on. He says, are you ready? Will you be ready to take the cup? Will you go through the baptism? Then he says, yes, you actually go through it. You go through the baptism. But as for those positions you mentioned, that belongs in the hands of the Father. But you will go through it. His prophetic eyes saw the kind of things these men were to go through. So baptism of fire is not what you see happening in Pentecostals. They lay hands on each other and they say, fire, fire, fire. If you know the real meaning of it, you won't play with it like that. That is fire on the altar burning you up until there is no voice in you. when you speak. You see, a burnt sacrifice has no voice. In case you hear anything on the altar, it's the voice of God. So let me close with these words. Brother Branham says, the threefold purpose was God to reveal himself in Christ. Who was Jesus? He was the demonstration of a vessel totally yielded to the Father's will. And the will of God prospered in him. But what's the second fold purpose, he said? Secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers. So whatever God revealed in Christ by filling Christ, he wants the body of believers to be filled with Christ. What God was, he poured in Christ. What Christ was, he wants to pour it in us, believers. We have to be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, so that the seed which was sown can come up producing many seeds, many sons of God. The prophet says that was the second fold. To have preeminence. What is preeminence? For him to rule in the body of believers. For these believers to be yielded and surrendered to only do the will of the Father. And what's the third fold purpose? When God accomplishes that, when he accomplishes, have preeminence, control, ruling through these believers. What's the third thing? He says, to restore to the original condition in the Garden of Eden. You see what this third fold is? When God has picked people who can be filled with his spirit, they can do what his mind says, then now he is ready to make them rule the world. For the world to be restored back to the way it was in Eden. So the third-fold purpose is to restore the earth back to Eden. Remember what Paul said? The whole creation groans, it cries, waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for this body of believers to grow up to that level where they've grown to the full stature of Jesus Christ. Listen to me, brethren. We can argue about doctrines. We can speak all these things. But the fivefold ministry has one agenda. He gave some apostles, others prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For what purpose? For the work of ministry, till we all come to the fullness of the measure of Christ. For what Christ was, to fully manifest and be displayed in believers. Any ministry that doesn't produce Christ in you, I don't care how eloquent it is, it's useless. It's not accomplishing anything. Mysteries are good. These things are interesting. But if our character, if our lives are not being transformed to look like Jesus, there's nothing we are doing. We are not different from Jehovah's Witness. If all the message is doing is to produce this number of courts versus another kind of courts and people are in debate, that's nothing. That was not the purpose of the ministry of Brother Branham. The last statement in the Church Ages book, Brother Branham says, I've never desired to create an organization or to make followers, people to follow me. He says, if I've had a desire, it's one thing. To introduce man to the fellowship of Christ. For us to be like Christ, that's what it does. But when a church misses its mission, it gets reduced to debates. It gets reduced to drama. It gets reduced to who is more emotional than the other. Praise the Lord. Now listen to what the prophet says in the message, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed. He says, he had to put man on free moral agency to fall so that he might be a savior. What a statement. He says, God allowed man to be a free moral agent to choose. So that, are you hearing what he says? Let me read again. He had to put man on free moral agency to four, so that he might be a savior. So God, right from the beginning, he knows that this free moral agency, this free mind I've made, he gave it free will for a purpose. For what purpose? For it to fall. Why should it fall? It needs to experience the fall. To experience what? To experience our insufficiency. To experience our limitation. To experience what results from our own poor choices. So that we go down on our knees. And we surrender back our choice and say, if vosanga sanga of what needs to happen, mulungu nivanu, ndimwe munanzero. Nitandizeni, paneka, nilibe mpamvu, paneka, ndinosowa. I surrender it to you. Na wena ngufuti wazasanga nao kutawe, me, I trust my mind. I trust what I'm seeing under the microscope. No, there's actually no God. That's your choice. That's choice you've made. Where will that choice lead you to? The choice you make is what leads you to hell or to heaven. Because right from the beginning, from that world of potential, he split evil and good in time. For what purpose? To destroy evil and annihilate it, destroying all its potentials in future eternity. But to also allow the good to exist forever in future eternity. But good and evil don't exist in the air. They have to exist through an agency. It knocks on the door of your heart. What you allow is what manifests in you. But then you have the omniscient God. He even knows the choice you're going to make before you make it. But he can't just make you skip this, just take you straight and burn you in hell. No. He gives you an opportunity. Choose. You choose. Okay, what you've chosen, takes this direction. Go in that direction. When he sees this one will make a right choice, he says, okay, I'll reveal myself to him. Sounds very unfair, huh? But who are you, creature, to question him? What kind of a thing do you have in you? Check your desire. Check what is in you. Do you have a desire to come before God and seek for his mercy? That is enough for you to praise aloud, to worship aloud, to say, Lord, thank you for this desire. Although I'm not yet perfect, thank you that I have a desire in me to even repent. Never lose that. Blessed are they that hunger after righteousness. It's a blessing just to have the hunger. It shows you there is something in here which wants to feed on that holiness which God meant for you. One day, Paul, when you read the last chapter of the book of Acts, he spent the whole day from morning showing the Jews how Jesus was the Messiah. He expounded here and there. Look, brethren, this, that, what? 10 hours, 11 hours. Wabwere sana lunch. Wakarufusa my questions. In concluding, he looked at them. Then he says, Nizuona chinare mbedwa. Manso mulinayo, but sumuona. Answer anachi sankiratu mulungu so that we do not muone. Matu mulinayo, but yali very daro, palibe, vamene mumvera. He realized all this talk I'm speaking, I've just given a witness, but I'm speaking to blind people. And he says it was necessary for the gospel to be preached to you, but lo, we turn to the Gentiles. We turn to the Gentiles. And later in the book of Romans, he says, does it mean God hasn't accomplished his purpose among the Jews? He says, nay. It's him who blinded them. that the gospel may go to the Gentiles. He says, if their rejection of the gospel, it gave life to the Gentiles, what more the time when he goes back to them to open their eyes? If the closing of the eyes gave salvation to the Gentiles, it means the opening of their eyes, it will even cause the catch away of the Gentiles to disappear from this world in the rapture. Blessed be the holy name of the Lord. Shall we stand? I was reading the words of Martin Luther. And his conclusion on predestination is, these are not matters to be talked in public and to take great pleasure in teaching them, because it's not something like maybe faith can feed on, but just keep it there in the closet. And as a preacher, do what you can preach. Whoever will receive sight, let them receive. Hey, that is tough, but you can be thankful to the Lord that he opened your eyes. But your part, you don't know who is an elect. That's not in our hands. But we preach the word of God for a witness. You do your part, you proclaim the word of God. If God has given grace for someone to see, yes, let them see. It is God's desire for the whole world to be saved. But in the presence of choice, it's not possible. Others will choose the right thing, others won't choose the right thing. But by what he foreknows, he has put a desire in those to make the right decision. Shall we close our eyes and pray? When the word of God says the just shall live by faith, when the word of God says he chose, remember, it's not based on any merit you have. It's completely by his grace. So there's nothing you can boast about. There's nothing you can boast about. Instead, it should cause you to tremble. John Calvin, concerning predestination, he says, it's a mystery which should cause fear in us. He says, it's a mystery which should cause us to tremble. It's too sacred. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies which are new every morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for taking us out of the world, out of the merry, terrible pits of darkness. And you, Lord, you picked us, you washed us, you cleansed us. And in a world which believes filth, we still have that consciousness to know that God did not make us like that. We still have it to know that you didn't make us just to live by ourselves. Solomon tells us what's the duty of man is to obey the commandments of the Lord. Help us, Lord, that the resource of life you've put in us, we don't misuse or abuse it. There are many times we've done foolishly, Lord. Many times we've disappointed. Lord, we pray, have mercy on us. That each new day you give us, may we look at it as an opportunity to do better. But even to do better, Lord, we need to yield and to surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Bring us to that place, Lord, that we can yield and surrender. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies which are new every morning. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. With thanks in our hearts. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.